The Weekend Edition with Cafe Arnoux Cocktail and Wine Bar Dunfanaghy. Perfect for afternoon tea, Sunday brunch, or celebratory dinner with cocktails.
Hello and a very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the Weekend Edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on the programme, Sheila Shoiga joins us to discuss her new charity Christmas single. An exorcist warns against Ouija boards. We hear from Donegal entrepreneur Elvin Irwin. There's a special fundraising day for Damien Flanagan, who was seriously injured during this year's Donegal International Rally. We'll get the details. And Avril McMonagle discusses the presence for Percy appeal. Loads more besides to come on the programme. You can text us 086 77 00555 with your calls, comments and requests, or call Marion on 074 91 25000. Or if you're on social media, you can tweet me directly at Greg Hughes 2. Also coming up on the programme, we have a fantastic prize once again thanks to our amazing sponsors at Arnold's Hotel in Dunfanaghy. It's a Sunday lunch for two in the beautiful Seascapes restaurant, which overlooks the beautiful Sheephaven Bay in Arnold's Hotel in Dunfanaghy. We'll give you the information on that very shortly. But first, I want to say good morning to our guest in studio today, looking at the news. It's Michael Margay, Head of Business School at LYIT. Michael, good morning to you.
Very good morning to you, Greg.
It's great to have you in. Thanks for coming in on your Saturday. How are you keeping?
Good.
Things busy down at LYIT, I presume, as always.
You know, you're coming to the end of the year too, so you've got things to get done. So the list is there and you've got to start ticking off it, as well as, I suppose, what's very topical at the moment is kids' Christmas lists and shopping and all that.
And there's quite a bit of that in the papers, isn't there, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. Very early this morning, my five-year-old daughter was picking a bit out of the newspaper where she said, "There's Elsa on the front page of the paper, imagine that." And I just see the headline beside it, "The 4 billion Christmas." So things are looking up on the up, I suppose, from the retail side anyway, heading into Christmas.
What the most peculiar thing about that Elsa doll is that film, Frozen, it's a last year's film, it's not even this year. I would say they could never have anticipated that it would still hold the imaginations of the young ones so much still. But that doll is literally causing riots.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, companies are very good at marketing and they understand, you know, once they have a movie or they get a concept together, they really have a trajectory and how to get the sales out of it, and then they have the spin-offs from it, etc., etc. But I think if they have a winner and it really does hit kids' imagination, you know, it'll be timeless, just like Mickey Mouse is. You know, so once you hit the jackpot, it's going to be there for kids because it really hits a special place for them. But I was just looking at some interesting stuff related to that, Greg, on the article in The Independent. It says here, "It seems after 6 years of grinding austerity, we're all set to go on a massive spree." And I turned the page then into that there. And, you know, even at the depths of our recession, it says here, "Irish shoppers would still spend twice as much than our German counterparts, 894 compared to €399.
So even though we are to the pin of our collar, when it comes around to Christmas, many of us are still finding money, enough of us obviously to create that statistic to spend at Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I think on the one side it's unfortunate it's framed as money, right? But I think when you look at it here on the other article by Alison Keating there, it picks up on the positive psychology of, you know, we're happy and feel better and best about ourselves when we're giving. It's a positive psychology of doing it. And she moves out of that article then to pick up on the bit, you know, about the spend that goes on at Christmas, but you don't necessarily have to make it a spend, it can be a give. And she was on then to talk, you know, the biggest compliment and gift you can pay people is really time and thoughtfulness. So
you can't open time and thoughtfulness on a Christmas morning, though, can you? That's why it always comes back to the monetary aspect of it, isn't it? Because we judge, I think most people, if they were honest, judge what people think of them by what they would actually receive, you know, that has a value to it, that an actual monetary value, no?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just shallow.
No, I don't think that there. I think, you know, it's, you know, different horses for different courses, yeah. You know, different people. It's a variety of people that's out there, you know. I do think, though, sometimes in the era that we're in, we're very much wrapped up in consumerism. Mm-hmm. You know,
materialism?
Yeah, it's a marketing world that we live in, you know what I mean? And they're pretty good at working how they get us to buy and consume products. But I suppose, you know, you could move from that theme back into the local newspapers.
Well, we'll do that in a second, but yeah. Just as it relates to how much we're spending, because that was a really interesting stat, twice as much as the Germans, okay?
Yeah.
Even though we are in a recession, the German economy has always been stronger and wasn't in the same mess as we were as such. Yeah. Then if you go back to the Celtic Tiger, are we just spenders? Because, you know, obviously the banks were over-lending, but they were only lending to people who were borrowing, and I'm not getting into all of that, right? But is there something in our psyche then that has us spend money that we don't necessarily have?
I mean, that's a very good question, and I have to say I don't know the answer to it, but what I would say is that, you know, most people would say to you that Irish people are generous people. Mm. You know, they're generous of what they have and what they can give, whether it's time or whether it's monetary. I think when you look back through the last 10 or 20 years, whenever there was national appeals or global appeals out there to different disasters that happened, you know, Irish people are very generous.
Always,
and they're very good
place.
At giving. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you were saying then you were going to sort of take it to the local papers too. It's sort of along the same theme, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you went to local papers there, Donegal Democrat there, and, you know, page 8, page 29, Children in Need really sticks out. And there's a very impassioned appeal there on page 29 that, you know, never before had they seen their demand on their services as high as it is this Christmas. And even go back to national newspapers, it makes the point, you know, that every family there, you know, are really living, no matter what level of income they're at, on a month-to-month or week-to-week basis. And the pressure Christmas puts in it, because it's extra spend.
Of course,
you know, so
yeah.
There's only so much coming in on the per week or per month. And, you know, I think she made a lovely point there, and at Avril McMonigal, when she says there, she said it very, very nicely. Weren't me and my brothers out sweeping the front street for weeks before Christmas to make the reindeer's landing as smooth as possible? Of course he was coming to our house. Mm. You know, so, I mean, you read those articles and they press a button with you, and I think we're all very busy in our lives. Everybody's very busy, but I think you really have to take time to think about the people who could do an extra little bit of support.
Mm. And later on in the programme too, because I do agree with you, and it touched me somewhat as well, we're going to be speaking to Avril, because there is an appeal, for Percy appeal,
yeah.
And we're going to speak about that as well. But we also will find out an update in the story we carried from Avril yesterday, Michael, and it was a post that was put on Facebook. It was about a child, an 8-year-old, and effectively a Donegal girl, a Donegal child, don't know if it was a boy or a girl, and effectively they what they want from Santa's a mattress, because there was two children sleeping in a single bed, and then this third child lying on the floor. Now, there's been an absolute amazing response to that on Facebook, and since we carried it, we're going to get an update on that. But it just really highlights what you're talking about in that, you know, where people's priorities and even very young people's priorities are about what they want from Santa. Something might be the Elsa doll, and then this young child, and for them it's to get off the floor into a mattress. But as I say, that turns into sort of a very nice story, and we'll talk about that a little later on in the program. But I think it really underlines the point you've been making there.
Yeah, I mean, it really is about, I suppose we're all really busy, Greg, you know, people get very busy, and it's about breaking through that busyness to make sure that we focus on the important bits that are out there as well, which is giving and supporting other people. And, you know, as you said, that child on there saying that, you know, the biggest thing they could have for Christmas was a mattress, you know, and there's loads and loads of families out there that are in hardship at this point in time, and particularly at Christmas. But I suppose some of the stuff coming through at the media as well, and even on the news last night about the homelessness and that, there was, you know, what's so different about the month of Christmas or the month of December? These people are homeless every other month of the year as well. And I suppose it's got to find a way that we put better supports in place.
Well, we're talking about the homeless thing. Are we becoming an incredibly too much of a cynical nation, do you think? Because there was the tragedy in Dublin where a homeless man died.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's brought the issue of homelessness very much into the headlines. Now, Enda Kenny then went out a couple of nights ago, the night before last.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said he was very shocked. He said it was very sobering what he saw. And then he made a commitment that any person who wants a bed for Christmas will get one.
Hmm.
Now, he's been criticised for this. Oh, all of a sudden, Enda Kenny cares about homelessness. It must be an election, this, that and the other. Are we over-cynical? Should we not be saying, OK, this is the leader of the government who's went out for himself firsthand to see this problem and has made a very genuine commitment that will change a lot of people's lives over Christmas? Or are we right to be so cynical? What do you have a take on it?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Mm. I mean, I actually read that article and, you know, it struck a chord with me. It made me think twice. So there's a value in that there. It's a side column on the page where it talks about where he went out and made the visit, and it was very sobering for him. And, you know, I was thinking, well, you know what? You know, I'm a person out there. Maybe I should spend more time thinking about these things and, you know, giving back to your community and finding ways to do things. But when you talk about the cynical aspect of things, I picked up in this article in the Irish Times about, you know, homelessness and urban life and all that there. And I mean, I was shocked by two of the paragraphs on it. One of them was that in London, anti-homelessness spikes were installed last summer in a sheltered alcove outside a luxury apartment building, obviously to prevent people either sitting or lying on the benches.
The horrible looking things, what they represent.
Yeah, Madrid had a similar issue. And yet, though, this is balanced because it talks about in the States, in certain areas where homelessness has dropped by 32% since 2007, they've suffered a recession just like us as well. And it was about having a multi-layered response. You know, so I think it's about, you know, if the media and if there's an article out there and it triggers a response from people, when I think it's for the agencies that are interested in this area to grab onto that and get as much energy as they can out of that to effect change.
Yeah, interesting indeed. A caller says some people out there who don't have a lot will be dreading Christmas as they want to have the money to spend. You only have to see yesterday's headline where a young girl wants a bed for Christmas. Truly shocking. Yeah, I mentioned that. And that's precisely what we're talking about. It's the pressure that people are on, and it's the pressure to please, and it's the pressure to ensure that your children have the same as everybody else. And it's a very difficult time. And then people are forced to go to moneylenders as well, which is another aspect of this as well. And we saw a very high profile case in County Donegal last week of moneylenders, and people will go to great lengths to, as I say, try and ensure that their family has what everyone else has. 086 77 00 555 is the text line, or you can call us on 074 91 25000. We're in studio with Michael Margay. It's Margay, isn't it?
Margie,
I beg your pardon. She says Mar. I'm blaming once
no
again.
No problem.
Marion, who sometimes works against me here. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Margie, head of business at LYIT. What else has been in there, jumping out at the papers at you, Michael, today?
Well, I mean, I suppose, the sports is in there, the rugby, you know, to try and get this...
the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about £100 million investment. They think that they would break even on that there. But I suppose that the other side is, I think, to get 400,000 people into Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would just be a bumper. And, you know, it's the knock-on effect of that then as well. As well as that, it uplifts people psychologically.
It's an all-Ireland thing as well, and the GEA is on board already, because obviously they've got stadiums that they have to... they'd have to contribute to that. It's great that we've the infrastructure to even be able to put in a bid going to be.
Yeah, you know, and at the time when we were making investments around that space, you know, some people wondered whether it was wise or not, but it shows you what we're able to host on an international stage and to have the ambition to be able to do that. But I think, sport is really, you know, one of the most powerful forces for good that's out there at all levels, whether at professional level. I mean, we just look at the local newspapers to see about the Termon ladies' football team being hugely successful. The back page is still picking up there on Jim McGuinness and what he did, you know, and it touches everybody, you know. I mean, it's the people participating in it, it's the family supporting it, it's all the volunteers, you know. It's a great force for good sport at all levels.
A caller says that homeless man who died outside the Dáil was offered accommodation twice and refused, so that was his own choice. May he rest in peace. It's a hard view, but it's... Legitimate, I suppose, because that is the case. 086-7700-555. Your calls, comments and requests, more than welcome to that text number. And Marion's taking your calls too in 074-9125,000. Head of Business at LYIT, Michael Margy, is with me, in studio. Michael, you were talking about sport there, and you know, we had extensive coverage of the Termin Ladies last weekend, and Tom Comer had a fantastic show on Wednesday night live from it. The lift it gave Termin, yeah, and it gave the county. It's huge what sport. You were going to say before the break. It's tremendous what sport can actually do and how it can unite people and lift people and inspire people.
I mean, sport is, I mean, if we even look at it at LYIT and we look at the different subject areas and discipline areas that we have, sports is an area that really stands out because of its transformational value, mm-hmm, and who it touches and how many people it touches. So, I mean, it really is a fantastic force for good. It's something where you look at the coaches that are involved, you look at people like Jim McGuinness, you know, you look at the impact that that had on County Donegal's psyche, you know, the how people felt about themselves. I suppose people maybe had a bit more of a hop in their step, you know, but to be a great coach is really, really, you know, important thing. And if you look at Jim McGuinness, I mean, he really stands out because he was able to connect with all his players. And even when they had that really hard year, you know, when they had a bad defeat, to bring them back from that there, and I suppose
bounce back ability, they used to call it.
Yeah, bounce back ability. But I mean, he was able to fashion a key.
He found a way.
Fashioned a key to get into people's minds and to work with them. And it wasn't just about, you know, focusing on the mechanics of the sport. It was about the person, the holistic view. And even if you look at the things like the, you know, the Couch to 5K initiatives, where you have the volunteer coach, or the, you know, the less professional coaches than the Jim McGuinness of the world and that there. They're really, really important people too.
It's amazing because I was just thinking that as you were talking. I mean, down my way, you'd have Dara Quinn from the Salmon Inn, which is a lovely spot down by me, volunteering with the GA, him and loads of others. Paddy Battle with the soccer, ferrying young lads around Thursday nights when it's piddling it down outside, giving up their time to do that. These are the
volunteer coach.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. The future Seamus Coleman's or the future Michael Murphy's, you know. And it's those guys right at the very bottom that are the, not at the very bottom, because that sounds like I mean that negatively and I don't.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that are planting the seeds for the Jim McGuinnesses and the...
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose they're not getting the headlines in the newspaper, you know, but they're really important... part of the jigsaw of building talent within Donegal. And it's not just the sport, because you're actually building leadership skills, you're making people become more confident in themselves, you know. And that's something, I suppose, even at LYIT on our sports coaching course, you know, that you're trying to develop in the people that come on that programme. And it's been hugely successful. Demand in that course has doubled. You know, so it just
but you've
shows
fantastic facilities too, which very much helps.
Yeah, we've good facilities, and we've even invested more and more recently in our sports performance lab. We hope to launch in the new year. You know, so all that sort of stuff is centering around that space. But I think you've hit it right there. You know, it's not just the headline coach. Mm. It's the volunteer coaches, it's everybody that's involved that provides the support around that. And, you know, they do a fantastic job. They're developing talent, they're developing people, they're making them better at sports, but they're getting, you know what they learn? They learn to fall in with people, fall out with people. They learn social skills, they, you know, they learn about their health, their well-being, their fitness. They learn how to communicate, they learn how to have ambition and achievement and the attitude it takes to make that difference.
Which then obviously transfers to other aspects
absolutely,
of life.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Final one too. I think Santi's going to be delivering a lot of phones and tablets and PlayStations and Xboxes to some lucky children. There is some coverage about children in front of screens, isn't there, in the papers today?
Yeah, I'm gonna balance this from the national newspapers to the local, where there's a headline here: best gift of all is to think twice before you give a child more time in front of a screen. Obviously, it's the tablet screens. They talk about the risks of, you know, how it affects their behavioural development emotionally, the risks also associated with obesity, you know. And, you know, I think you got to take some of this with a pinch of salt myself. I think it's all about moderation at the end of the day. So we can't say that these things are, you know, no-nos or don't get involved with them. I think when I was growing up as a kid, I was very much a, you know, a video kid, video game kid, whether it was out in Bundoran or Ballyshannon amusements at it. I don't think it did me any harm, but I think it's about striking a balance and getting the moderation right. And if you flip this over to, say, the local newspapers where they were talking about junk couture, I mean, a fantastic story, fantastic success story. Two Donegal people kicked it off. I'll check their Facebook this morning, 15,000 people following it. It's now moved to Scotland. It's now a national competition. And the key thing about that there is engagement, it's creativity. There's no tablets or laptops involved in it, right? They're actually using junk, right? So on the one hand, you have, you know, fantastic technology that's going to zip at, you know, 100 gigabytes a second or something like that.
I don't know where you're living. We're not getting
that. Well, hopefully, I mean, the government, they're proving it for, what is it, 2016, 2020, sometime around there.
Yeah, in the lifetime of the next government.
Yeah, but on the other hand,
I could make plans for you.
Yeah, you could. We could all make plans.
I'll say in 2020, you can donate €1 million.
Yeah, it's easy to do that there, yeah. But I think trash and junk couture.
That's really cool, Tom, because that's not a fad, because these guys have been doing this for 3-4 years, at the very least, as far as I'm aware, and beyond that. It's a really big thing, and as I say, I just said, it's not a flash in the pan. It's been going big locally, then in the region, and now there's some national, international recognition.
Yeah, and I mean, Greg, if I bring it back to LYIT, it's the exact same thing we're facing at the moment. You know, we have technology, you know, coming out of our ears. It's a challenge for us to make sure the kids, and as they move into employment, are technology literate. It's really, really important. We have the best technology to train them up on, et cetera, et cetera. And on the other hand, right, let's move away from technology altogether. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure that people can see creativity without technology.
Yes.
It's about engagement. It really is about people thinking about design thinking and how they solve problems. I mean, look at some of the works that came out of that junk couture.
It's a fantastic creativity.
Absolutely unbelievable. You know, I mean, world-class stuff in the hills of Donegal that's now moved nationally and internationally. It's a tremendous success story.
And, you know, a lot of these local businesses, I know that's, you know, in the same area and arts and whatever, have been able to grow in this area because we're so isolated using the internet and technology. I mean, and it's a marriage, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and you can flip that back into, say, somewhere like, you know, Michelhinney Stores doing a fantastic job at the moment. They just won that award for their e-commerce website 2015. You know, a local store of national significance and international repute in terms of the awards that it's won, and really, you know, leading forward in how best practice is. And if you look at us back here in Letterkenny and Donegal, let's hope that all the retailers have a bumper Christmas, because we're like a micro economy here. The currency rate is good, so less shoppers going across the border and more shoppers coming back this way.
Apologies to my listeners in Derry and Tyrone.
Well, they get it good the other times too, so you know, it levels out, everybody says, exactly. Over time.
And it back and forwards. I do know exactly what you're saying. Listen, it's been fantastic having you in, Michael. Our time has gone already. Yeah. Very interesting and diverse subjects you've touched on. We really do appreciate that. And hopefully you'll be able to come back into us.
Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Brilliant. That's Head of Business at LYIT, Michael Margy.
Upcoming events at the Arnold Family Hotel Dunfanaghy. Robbie Burns weekend, 23rd to 25th of January. James Joyce birthday celebration, Saturday 31st of January. Book online today at arnoldshotel.com or call 91-36208.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Thanks to so many of you getting in touch with us and indeed entering the competition. Bridie Gallagher in Falkara, she's cheeky. She sent in two entries. Bridie, one at a time, please. But keep them coming in. We will announce the winner of the prize before 12, actually. I wanted to mention something, too. There's been a postponement, which has just gone away from me here, but I'll come back to that for you. Oh, here it is. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the afternoon tea in aid of the Arnoldi lifeboat scheduled to take place in the Castle Grove House this afternoon, it's been postponed. So that's due to unforeseen circumstances. So if you're going along to that, unfortunately, it'll have to be another day. Good luck to the staff and management committee of Glentees Play School and Skullmora with their Christmas bazaar tomorrow in the school gym. That comes in from all the parents. Now, I want to say a very good morning to Elvine Irwin. Good morning, Elvine.
Hiya, Greg. How's things?
Very good to speak to you. How are you?
I'm great.
Excellent.
Thanks, Eilean, for having me on there. No, it's really
great.
I've been
tracking your process, progress indeed, with your Click Clinic, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Tell me a bit about you, though. What's your background, Alvin?
Well, my background is that I have a degree in economics and finance from UCD, and I'm also currently a final year physiotherapy student in Trinity College Dublin. And now I'm also running a business with Click Clinic. So
it is quite interesting because we were talking to our previous guest about sport and how it can sort of form our personality and our goals and that type of thing. And you've got a very significant sporting background as well, haven't you?
For me personally, I think I've been involved in sport in Donegal and Ulster and Ireland from the ages of 9, and I really do think that shaped me as a person, having that exposure at a young age to dealing with people and that team aspect of it. That's been hugely influential for myself.
Your focus now is on your business. You are an entrepreneur, and it's a mobile phone app primarily, isn't it, Click Clinic?
It's a mobile enabled platform that connects people with non-serious conditions to healthcare professionals in just a few taps. So all you need is like your phone or your tablet or a laptop, and it tracks via GPS tracking the nearest healthcare professional to you. So it's essentially, I don't know, in Dublin there's a huge app for taxis called Halo. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially Halo for healthcare professionals. So the healthcare professional comes to you and a location that suits you.
And what was the idea behind this? Well, you've given us the idea, but why did you think that there was a gap in the market for something like this?
Well, it was just from my own experience from playing sport. I required a lot of physiotherapy intervention, and when I rang up for an appointment, you're symptomatic, you have pain, that's why you rang to see a physio, that's why you rang to see a doctor. And I rang, and every time I rang to see a physio, it was like, oh, well, we're kind of booked up, but I'd have to be next week. And that wasn't good enough for me, and I think for 99% of the people as well, other people, it's not good enough for them. And then as a clinician as well, on the healthcare professional side of it, I saw it from people ringing up and coming into appointments saying, well, my pain's not as bad as it was, and they want to be seen there and then. And it's just, there's a whole supply of healthcare professionals. Like 70% of physiotherapy graduates within the last 3 years have either changed profession, or unemployed, or immigrated. And then there's waiting lists as high as 16 weeks to see a physiotherapist.
So that you've got A on one side, and you've got C on the other side, and then there's no B. In other words, you've got people who are saying there's not enough work for me or whatever, and then you've got people saying, look, I'm waiting for ages just to get something simple looked at. You're B, effectively. You're saying, well, hold on a second. There's supply and there is demand. I just need to put you in contact with each other.
Yeah, the utilisation of the supply is just... There's a huge gaping hole, and I think healthcare professionals, they don't utilise technology as much as businesses, and I think that my technology is going to, well, hopefully solve the problem, but if not, contribute to it. And the HSE have a huge movement at the minute to move from acute primary care hospitals, bringing people out of there. We're picking up flus and colds and trying to move them to community, and I'm even by-stepping that even more by going to the home.
Now, the Ireland Best Young Entrepreneur competition was a real kickstart for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I typed this idea into the website in, was it July? And I made it through to the Donegal finals in September, and now I have a girl working for me and 4 physiotherapists, and I have my own business, so... And it's the start of December, so it's been a whirlwind for me. So yeah, the Donegal Enterprise Office have been fantastic. They ran a boot camp for the competition, and they put me in contact with a great mentor, Jerry Moen. And the talent and the young people that are in Donegal is astounding. I went to that Donegal Enterprise Office on the first day, and I was overwhelmed by the young people there that were so motivated and driven. And
have you looked at starting up? If you looked at the Donegal entries in the competition, every single one of them had merit. Every single one of them seemed like a good idea. So it's a great sign of the brains that we have in the county.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the two guys, like Efficient Heating and Plumbing, they've been all around Cork and Ireland now, and they're looking to go even bigger. And then Chartered Education as well, that was one of the finalists who went to the regional. They're doing really well. They're launching their service now on Friday for courses. So it's just everybody's doing really well. And even when I was waiting there, I heard an ad for Arnold's Hotel. She was one of the girls in the competition. So huge, huge young people in Donegal looking to like grow businesses and set up here. So it's fantastic. And the Donegal Enterprise Office are... they're really, really helpful. So
yeah, because you need that, because you can have the idea and you can have the drive, but there's so many cul-de-sacs, isn't there? That you know, you go down and you go, oh, I can't go this way, I can't do it that way. But as you were just about to say, I think that the likes of the local enterprise office here in Donegal and these other initiatives can be that stepping stone that you need to progress.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened to me. I had this idea from when I started in physio in Trinity in Dublin, and I just didn't know how to go about it. And especially as a young person and as a young woman from Donegal, I kind of thought, well, will people laugh at me? And I went into the enterprise office, or the local enterprise office, and they took me under their wing. And I've been to New York, I've been all over Ireland, and now I'm a national finalist in this competition. So don't be afraid to go into them. They're more than welcome, and anyone does have an idea.
So tell us about Click Clinic then. I mean, it's essential that you have take up on both sides, the people that provide the services and those that are seeking it. How's that going for you?
Yeah, the double-sided market, the Balancing Act, is probably the most difficult about recruiting the number of healthcare professionals to meet the demand. We're conducting market validation tests at the minute in Dublin. So it's going well so far. I have just four physiotherapists contracted for me. And it's going really well. So we're just looking to grow gradually.
Fair play to you. Listen, it's been fantastic speaking to you, and we wish you the very best of luck at the national final, which you say you're going through to now, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's actually tomorrow. It's in Google headquarters. Ooh. So yeah, fingers crossed that I get through. But just anybody in the Donegal area, if they could go on to my Facebook or my Twitter and give a like, or you know, just any kind of support, it would be brilliant for a small startup like myself.
And best thing then to search Click Clinic.
Click Clinic on Facebook and Twitter, yeah.
Best of luck to you. We hope you win tomorrow.
So do I, but this competition's fierce, so I don't know, fingers crossed, we'll see.
You've got this far, so who's to say you can't go one step further? It's great to speak to another young entrepreneur in Donegal that's flying the flag for the county and themselves, of course, and thanks so much for coming on and discussing it with us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me on, Greg. I really do appreciate it.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll chat again. Hopefully next week, get you on for a couple of minutes if you win.
Yeah.
Right, Elvin, thank you so much. Elvin Irwin there. So if you want to support Elvin, get more information, you can search Facebook or Twitter, Click Clinic.